The question of Ebola and the fact that our President Barack Obama has sent U.S. troops into harm's way in Africa to, as he put it, combat Ebola, is something that has frightened me, alerted me to what is going on and what is wrong in United States government at this point in time under Barack Obama. And I came upon a podcast by a former vice presidential candidate and Marine Corps candidate, Daryl Castle, who happens to be one of the founding members of the Constitution Party. And so I've invited him to speak on that issue. Welcome, Daryl.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
You know, I really enjoyed this podcast of yours about our military being sent off to Africa to fight Ebola. And what are your concerns with that?
Well, there are several. Of course, the first concern would be that the military, members of the military, these 3,000 troops, would actually come in contact with this terrible disease and be infected and possibly infect others, or maybe even bring it back to the United States. That's the first concern. But there are other concerns about the abuse and misuse of the military, but why troops designed for combat are sent to fight a virus. Obviously, they can't do that. They fight people, not viruses. So I suspect they're being sent there to enforce martial law and essentially quarantine these two countries so that their populations slowly die off from this disease. And, you know, these troops are real job is to shoot fleeing civilians and things like that. And I just don't think Americans are very good at that sort of thing, and I think it's going to be very damaging. There's no reason for it that I can think of that's good.
Yeah, I see no reason for it to happen either. I would just have stayed out of there. And it's to be noted, Daryl, that when you look at what's happening within the United States, this very same president, who I personally do not accept as being a legitimate president of the United States, because of the controversy surrounding where he was really born and such, and there's even current information saying that he was born in Indonesia. This supposedly being put out by a former CIA asset who says that Barack Obama was born in Indonesia. There's lots of evidence out there showing that Barack Obama should not be president of the United States because legally he cannot occupy that office. But the concern is that this very same president has opened up the borders of the United States, forced the Border Patrol and other agencies to function as escort services for people coming into the country illegally bearing diseases. And there are reports all over the country of children catching respiratory illnesses. There is the possibility of Ebola because there are Africans that make their way through that southern border, which is porous and at this moment very open. So I don't understand this president sending our fighting men over there to Africa at the same time keeping the borders open and completely disregarding everything that we're taught in junior high school about communicable diseases. What do you say?
Well, I mean, it's an outrage. It's an impeachable offense, but this man doesn't care. He has no fear, and why should he? The only people charged with impeaching him simply refuse to do that or even look at it. There's no one acting in the best interest of America, not Congress, not the president. His actions are, they seem pathological to me, nevertheless, there he is in this office and nobody will stop him. I mean, he seems hell-bent on destroying the country, but the only people charged with stopping him simply won't do it. And he says he's going to make it even worse after the elections, and they won't campaign on that issue or even mention it to the American people.
Yes, right after the November elections, one of his plans is to issue an amnesty to 7 million illegal aliens, which is going to have a devastating effect on a workforce that is lacking in employment opportunities for Americans. And as I always think of points of accountability, Daryl, because people have all these ideas about outside forces involved, whether it's George Soros, whether it's the one of the many outfits that are thought of out there there are so many, the Council on Foreign Relations and such. I always think, yes, these things probably do exist, but there are points of accountability, the president himself being accountable to the people and to Congress. And we've got the Republican Party, we've got the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party should have shut him down right away. They didn't. The Republican Party should certainly have stood up for the American people and the Constitution and begun impeachment proceedings, but they don't. Daryl, it appears to me that there's nobody in United States government standing up for the freedoms of the citizens of the United States or the well-being of the Republic. What do you say?
Well, I think you're right about that, but what is the ultimate accountability point in this country? Isn't it us? And we refuse to hold them accountable. I mean, we just keep reelecting them. So you're absolutely right about what you're saying. There is no one standing up for America and for what it means and that sort of thing. But ultimately, we're responsible because we just won't stop reelecting them. And they've convinced more than 50% of us that they're on the right track, I suppose. Unfortunate, but that's the way it seems.
Well, you know, you've touched upon a point that is my own, which is that we are the major and last point of accountability when everything fails. But people are afraid. They're afraid because they do understand that we have been left alone, isolated, and there's no one to address the issue of the obvious destruction of the United States. There's no one left but the people, us. And we're not organized to do what needs to be done, which is to step up and to arrest these individuals who really are indulging in mass criminal acts against our republic and with a lot of hardship forthcoming from that to the American people. But I do agree with you. All that is left is the American people, and we have not found a means of stepping up, as in, say, in Egypt, where the people took to the streets and the military backed them and they got rid of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes, you know, ultimately it may come to that. I mean, we still have a process in America of elections. I mean, you can't always be sure that they're free and open and honest anymore, but still, if we would just take the first step of punishing those people who hold current office for what they've done and allowed to be done, that would be the first step. But yes, I mean, it some type of mass uprising in the streets may be necessary. You know, our country is rather divided right now because there are an awful lot of people who simply want things to be going the direction they're going and seem quite happy with it. But even they are upset because either it's not going far enough to please them, or I mean, as you pointed out earlier, even Democrats can see what this man Obama is and what he's doing, and he's embarrassing even them. You know, you think after a while that they're beyond embarrassment, but they're apparently not, because they're unwilling to even mention his name anymore when they're speaking and so forth.
Well, that is at least a reaction. I have a disagreement with some of my friends, and that disagreement would be that I tell them that, at least in my case, I don't think we even have a country anymore. When you ponder everything that has happened, there is no accountability from any of the three branches of government. I don't see it. No accountability. Zero. The major political parties are so stuck on the kind of corruption that has formed them into the anti-American entities that they are, that they cannot be counted upon. We have open borders. We have citizens from the third world walking in at will and being accommodated to the detriment of American citizens who don't have proper employment at this point in time. During a period when America is not doing well, our military is being decimated, and I'm still waiting to hear more about that, because I know there have been huge negative repercussions to the military as a consequence of having Barack Obama as president of the United States. Everywhere I look, there seems to be a destruction of this country at an ever-accelerating rate, and I feel like I'm living in a pile of rubble of what once used to be America. And all that's left is me. It's almost, Daryl, for me, like looking at a movie of World War II when you're in Germany and all the buildings have been turned to rubble and everything, and all that's left is the citizenry to rebuild what was once a great nation. And that's how I look at America. How do you see it at this moment in time?
You know, I can't disagree with the thing you said. I mean, it is a sad state of affairs, and you're absolutely right. There is no accountability whatsoever, not from Congress, not from the president, not from the courts, and not from the political parties who seek only their own advancement and corrupt activities and so forth. And you can't believe anything that comes from Washington. Whatever they say, it's full of lies. So, you know, and as far as the destruction of the military, you're right there as well. He's fired more than 100 officers, it seems, every time someone disagrees with him, whether he's of command rank and in combat conditions, it doesn't matter. He just fires him, and so he sends out the message to these people. Now it's such a growing divide that he's having trouble doing even that, I think, because there's so many of them, and none of them are willing to be silent anymore. So we'll see what happens. The military is very upset. It's obvious. I mean, the general officers, I still have a few contacts in the military, and they're extremely upset right now with the way things are going and the way the troops are being used and so forth, and being told, you have this mission, you have this job to do, but we're not going to allow you to do it properly, and so when it fails, that's on you. Military don't like that.
No, that is amazing. And going a little bit further into what the current conflict is in the Middle East, which in my opinion has never been addressed properly, we know and we hear that in the White House there is a presence of the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's to be accepted, I think, that Barack Obama has sympathies with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood being the large umbrella group for all the other terrorist organizations out there in the Middle East who have found a home within the United States. That's, you know, there was a big uproar made about, well, ISIS is across the border in Mexico. Their ideology is alive and well within the United States in the many mosques that our government, even from the time of George Bush and before, have allowed to be built on United States soil, and which the FBI had said that 98 or 99% of those had been radicalized and taken over by radical imams with an ideology of death to the United States of America. We are also to understand that within the CIA, I believe that the person who's in charge of that now, his name is Brenner or Brennan, I cannot recall right now, he happens to be of the Muslim faith. You're aware of these things, Daryl?
Yes, John Brennan, unfortunately, has converted to Islam, the head of the CIA. If that doesn't send a cold chill through your bloodstream, I mean, what possibly could? Mm-hmm. Here we are in a religious war, which we don't admit because we don't understand what faith is. People in the West have lost their faith, so no one in leadership in the American government understands even who they're fighting over there. So they try to fight them with their hands tied behind their back, but it's another outrage. I mean, there are so many to choose from, but yes, I've been on this subject of Islamic terrorism now for several weeks, and the president's reaction to it. The country leadership is obviously pro-Muslim Brotherhood. You're right, and when Egypt joins with Israel to fight something, you know there's something weird going on.
But absolutely.
The Egyptians actually joined with the Israelis to fight the Muslim Brotherhood and try to drive them out of Egypt. So having said that, they must hate this guy, Obama, really badly, both of them, because he and Hillary Clinton as well have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, so...
Yes, Hillary apparently wants some of that Muslim Brotherhood money, of which there's a lot. And one of the things that bothered me from the very beginning, when George Bush began his ill-conceived, in my opinion, plan to wage war out there in the Middle East, is that they never did anything about not buying a drop of oil from those people. It's still ongoing, and that remains a source of funding to them. So here in America, we have this war raging in the Middle East, which they do not really want to call a war. Well, they call it a war on terror, but God knows what that means. And at the same time, they never pursued energy independence like they should have. And I think this was their last chance, because they lose complete credibility, at least with me, that they have not done everything possible within their power, and I'm talking about the entities in Washington, to get us off of that Middle Eastern oil and not pay those people a dime, because that money finds its way to Islamo-fascist terrorist groups.
Well, you're right once again. We just signed a $60 billion arms deal with Saudi Arabia, the largest arms deal ever in history with any one country. Yes, what ends up happening to that money, and what do the Saudis do with all these weapons? It's all so bizarre. I mean, who can understand it? Saudi Arabia is obviously one of the big terrorist backers over there, but we pour money into them. If you don't even know who you're trying to fight, the American people just, you know, they go and they die. They send their sons and their daughters, and they must be getting more and more discouraged every day, which I guess is part of the plan.
Yes, I would say that it's part of the plan. It's very obvious what is happening, and nobody is addressing the issue to explain to the American people how when we purchase gas at the pump, we're funding terrorism, and this is with the blessing of our United States government. And the only thing that I can see is that from the time that I was a young man, I was aware that there were lobbyists from Saudi Arabia coming to the Capitol, handing out money, buying off senators left and right. And treason is the reason that we're in the situation that we're in all around. And again, we come back to, there's nobody to address it because it's a club. We're not part of it. We're not allowed into it. We're simply ruled over. Daryl, I've come to the conclusion that right now my status in the United States is like that of a serf during the Middle Ages. The king lives in his castle. He comes down with his men, takes what he wants, and I have to put up with it. I don't see any real representation. I can't call this a representative republic, constitutionally based anymore. It just simply does not exist in that fashion. There are alternatives to the two parties. You've been involved with what was once was called the U.S. Taxpayers Party, which I was elated as a young man or a younger man to hear of its existence, but it was difficult to get in there because of ballot access and such. And now that has evolved into the Constitution Party. Tell me about your activities with the Constitution Party. I think its time has come.
Well, we're growing in my state of Tennessee. We have 9 candidates in the fall elections, including a candidate for governor, for U.S. senator, and for House of Representatives, along with some state houses and local elections. And this is true around the country now. And we have ballot access in Tennessee, and we're obtaining it state by state as we go. But yes, we seek to offer the American people a constitutional alternative. So there are alternatives out there if they're willing to consider them. And that's why I say it's discouraging when people voice their opinions, as we've done today, but then they continue to vote as they always have, and nothing ever changes except it just gets worse. And every time you think it can't get any worse, it does.
It does. It's happening on a weekly basis now. And Daryl, I'm also a member of the Constitution Party here in Wyoming, and what I've been discussing with my other party members here is that we have to engage in a massive ad campaign over radio, I think. You know, buy spots here and there to make people aware of what has happened in this country and how we, the Constitution Party, are an alternative to the entrenched interests that have brought the United States down. And I'm going to see what we can do about that. But your podcasts, which are very informative and easy to digest because they're like 8, 9, 10 minutes in length, some are even 4 minutes in length, but they're to the point, extremely informative. Where do we find that?
You can find that at castlereport.us.
And they are indeed excellent. Daryl Castle, anything else before we go, sir?
No, nothing else, Frank. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure. Have a very pleasant day, and we'll see you soon, we hope. Bye-bye.